Will you turn your Bibles now, please, to the book of the Acts, chapter 2. I might say, for the sake of those who are a good deal younger, that this is the 66th conference of Christians gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in connection with the Victoria Drive Assembly. First one was in 1912. I attended it as an unsaved boy. And I look at this large audience and I say, what hath the Lord wrought? As I look back to that little company in 1912 for the first conference, and look at this now, the 66th one, what hath God wrought? I came in this afternoon when you're singing the third verse of the hymn, and Lord, thou hast wrought for me more than tongue can tell. When hearing from the epistle of James concerning the Lord, he speaks of being a servant of the Lord. He speaks of the will of the Lord. He speaks of the name of the Lord. He speaks of the coming of the Lord. We've been hearing a little about the reverence of James, the Lord's brother. It is laid on my heart this afternoon, brethren and sisters, to speak on a subject that I feel cannot be too often spoken on. After well over half a century trying to minister the Word of God, it's only to be expected that one would speak on the same subject more than once. I make no apology. I want to speak a little on what I deem to be one of the most important subjects we can speak on today, and that is the Lordship of Christ. Acts chapter 2 and reading verse 36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God hath made that same Jesus, both Lord and Christ. Now we hear a good deal about Jesus as our Savior, and Jesus as our Redeemer, and Jesus as our High Priest, but we hear far too little, brethren and sisters, of Jesus as Lord. God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Well did Peter again say in the house of Cornelius, He is Lord of all. I want to impress that upon you. He is Lord of all. Now, as quickly as I can, and I'll make no promises one way or the other, it's nearly half past, I would like to speak a little on the Lordship of Christ in the Gospel, and then the Lordship of Christ in the believer's life, private life, and then the Lordship of Christ in the assembly, well before that, the Lordship of Christ in marriage, the Lordship of Christ in the home, the Lordship of Christ in the assembly. He's Lord of all, brethren and sisters. Those would be disciples. Luke chapter 9. Yes, and Peter also. Not so, Lord. That's a paradox. If Christ is not Lord of all, Christ is not Lord at all. Now I'll read the scriptures. I could quote them, we'll read them. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. The 10th chapter of Romans, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, allow me to read the revised version, something I do not often do in public. I said in the Bible reading, I want to enhance this King James Version all I can. I have made the statement at conferences and monthly ministry meetings here in Vancouver. There's scarcely been a translation of the Bible printed since 1901 that does not, in one way or another, becloud or belittle the account of creation, the story of Jonah, the virgin birth of Christ. Now I've got them, I have to have most of them, to answer questions. Brethren, sisters, I hold in my hand the finest translation of the Word of God in the English language. And I'm slow to make any change, but I quote the Revised Version. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here we have the Lordship of Christ in the Gospel. The angels announced to the shepherds who were born this day in Bethlehem a Savior. Jesus? No. Jesus is Lord. The Lord Jesus. Paul and Silas answered the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not believe on Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And here the apostle in referring to his brethren in the flesh, Israel, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. Brethren, we cannot bring every truth we'd like to into the God of preaching of the gospel. We can't do that. I mentioned last Lord's Day. My brother used to get after me because I didn't preach the resurrection every time I preached the gospel. He said it's part of the gospel. That's true, brethren. But you can bring in Christ as Lord. Over 59 and a half years ago, while this verse was read to me, I believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. And from then on there was a change of masters. Lord Jesus Christ came into my life. Bring that into the gospel, brethren. It'll save you from empty professors. I used to preach to the man, it doesn't matter who or when or how long ago. And there's a saying, is believe it or not. One week, every night, got his text, Proverbs chapter 30. The way of a man with a maid. Disgusting. There's no gospel there, and he didn't bring gospel out of it. Young brethren, I know, don't say I'm harping too much on this. It makes my heart sad. When young brethren opened a meeting for me in the gospel meeting, you're not bringing the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if there was such a person. Archaeology, and all the rest of it. Bring Christ into the gospel. Get your ears to believe Jesus Christ is Lord. God hath made him Lord. That same Jesus was Lord and Christ. Launch with Christ in the gospel. We can do it more of it. Save us from strange children. He will give us healthy converts. And they realize that they believe in the one God has made, both Lord and Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Thank God for James reverence you've been hearing about. Servant of the Lord. The will of the Lord. The name of the Lord. So on. First Peter, chapter 3. Again, permit me to quote the Revised Version. 1 Peter 3 and 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. I've often been surprised that hearts here isn't plural. We're of one heart, but it's all right. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The Lordship of Christ in my life. What about it, brethren and sisters? What about it, dear young friend? I speak kindly. Although my best critic, and I think she's in the audience today, I'm pretty sure she is. I didn't see her for a while. So you preached and you mad at everybody. I am not, brethren and sisters. I'm not mad at you. I love every one of you. But I long to see the young convert set Christ to spark as Lord in their heart. A change of masters immediately. New creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. All things become new. I want to say something to you. I have come to the place where I am not so much interested in the story that you have to tell concerning your conversion as I am in your walk since you profess to be saved. I preached a little and also preached at the funeral. The outstanding servant of the Lord, the late Mr. Samuel McEwen, used to say there's a lot of born-again people need to be converted. You know what he meant. There needs to be a change. Change. The Old Testament clean animal had two marks, a foot mark, a mouth mark, and a foot mark. I like to hear a good story. I was on with that in the last 3 minutes of the Word of God. Tell our conversion oftener. We want to see it in our lives. Has it made a change in your life? I have no confidence. No confidence. In a young person, no matter how clear a conversion they've got. But I haven't seen a change in their life. In your attitude. The deportment. And I'm not going to speak about dress. A lot of other things. I admire a man that calls a spade a spade. I do. Find no fault in it. I want to get at the Word of God. From the Word of God, and that ought to make a change.
Not so much of it nowadays, but when I was a young believer,
some of our sisters had two hats.
More than that, but they had two hats.
Did a hat for every occasion except the conference. Only the hat for the conference.
They would bring us even after them for ostrich plumes or flower gardens on their head.
That's how it's supposed to be. I'm not exaggerating. Have a rooster on their head. Almost a flower garden. There's a sister here today. It came Easter time. She went to the millinery store. She wanted a hat for Easter. The girl brought her a hat.
Is that one too?
No, I'm a Christian. Oh, I know what you want. And she brought another one. Is that one too at all? Oh, she said, where do you go? Well, I go to the gospel hall. Oh, I know what you want. And she brought it.
She says, what gospel hall do you go to?
She says, I go to the Cedar Cottage Gospel Hall. I know what you want.
She says, that's it.
That's it. Why, the world knows, brethren and sisters.
I was an unsaved clerk in the millinery shop. But she had customers from the gospel hall.
And she had customers from the Cedar Cottage Gospel Hall.
She knew when one set Christ apart and apart as Lord in her life. Set Christ apart as Lord. And in every other walk of life, friends, the Lordship of Christ should be preached in the gospel. The Lordship of Christ needs to be preached to the young convert.
Your baptism was an outward sign of an inward work.
How much did you bury in that tank?
I used to take care of the gospel hall for years. I found some queer things in the tank.
And I didn't put them in there either.
I never found what one man told me, since I found a clean
pipe in the bottom of the tank. Well, that man was setting apart Christ as Lord.
Goodbye to those things.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. There's a new creation. All things are passed away.
God put a difference between the Israelite and the Egyptian. What is the difference?
Blood. Blood.
That is the difference.
Blood of Christ, brothers and sisters, ought to stand between you and me and the world. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, allow me to change the King Version, which says, by whom? Look at the margin of your Newbery Bible. Look at the Revised Version. By which? Whereby? The cross stands between me and the world, brethren. And the world that the Apostle Paul knew wasn't the cocktail party or the beer parlor. The world that the Apostle Paul knew was a religious world. The Lordship of Christ came into his life. I want to say something to you, and I do not boast. For over 59 and a half years since that memorable night, memorable afternoon, 24th of March, 1918, and about 600 people had left that auditorium, 5 o'clock. I was left alone with the preacher. 5:30, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I went back to hear him preach on Sunday night. I went back to hear him preach on Monday night. I went back to hear him preach on Tuesday night. I said, goodbye, Mr. Thompson. I'll not be back here anymore. I'll always thank God that you led me to Christ. But I said, tomorrow night, I go to the prayer meeting, the little gospel hall. From that day to this, these sweet brethren and sisters have taken me nowhere. Nowhere ecclesiastically. But the companies of Christians gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've set Christ as my heart as Lord in my heart. Psalm 101. Go to the Old Testament. Psalm 101. Could go to the New Testament, but it's all right. You cannot build church truths on in the Old Testament. But God's principles never change. I'm awful thankful to see this text in front here. It's a few years ago that I suggested that that text should be in every gospel hall in Vancouver. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints. We've had in reverence of all them that are about him. Thankful to see it, brethren. Psalm 101. Verse 1. I had an old Bible and I marked in the margin opposite this psalm when I am not what I ought to be. Read Psalm 101. Yes, Christ is Lord in the home. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Listen, listen. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Listen. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall not depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Christ is Lord in the home. The godly Robert C. Chapman said, he that doth another's character stain shall never dine with me again. Why? The Lord was in his home. I see a motto on the wall, Christ is the head of this house. It's all right, I find no fault with it. But brother, you're the head of the house. And if you're a widow, you're the head of the house. Bring the Lord into your home.
I'm on this platform to tell you God will honor you for it. God will honor you for it. And you go into some homes, and the very atmosphere of heaven is there. My esteemed father-in-law saved an Omar under the preaching of Brethren Campbell and Matthews. 73 years in Christ. 65 years in the service of the Lord. He took me on my first trip away from home. I was a young man, married man. Before I ever got far from home. I was a lonely man. Terribly lonely. So far, never been so far from home. When about 2 months away, maybe three, we got as far as Portage Prairie. I was awfully homesick. I was shown to my room. Felt at home right away. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Underneath are the everlasting arms. There hath not failed one word of his good promise. Christ was in that home as Lord. What about your home? I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes in my home, says the psalmist. I won't do it. I could take you to home in Vancouver, and there are one or more texts of scripture in every room but one, and that's in the bathroom. Might be well to have one there too. Good chance to read. And there's one or more Bible in every home. Does your home have that atmosphere? Here's a psalmist who brought the Lord into his home. Christ in the gospel. Christ is Lord in the gospel. Christ is Lord in our individual lives. Christ is Lord in our homes. What's the atmosphere of your home? If a stranger was to come in, look around. Would you say, I'm in a Christian's home? Would you go further and say, I'm in a peculiar Christian's home? God is in this place. 1 Corinthians 7, briefly. First Corinthians chapter 7. We'll just read the end of the verse. I'll have to try and find it. Verse 39. She is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. Let me speak kindly to you, brethren and sisters, you were young. Don't take up with an unsafe partner. Don't do it. Aye, we've got a lot of young women in our assemblies today. I call them monuments to men's stupidity. Men get carried away with a pretty face. I'm not going to, I wouldn't like to begin to tell you. Not what I have read. Not what I have heard others tell. What I've seen with my own eyes. I've wept. And that young girl married an unsaved man. And I told her before she married him. I said, you're heading for trouble if you marry that man. Well, I said, I know, but I'm going to do it anyway. I would like to. One young girl knew the truth of God well, and a godly girl. With a man in the office trying his affections around her heart. Before she knew it, she was engaged to him, knew it was wrong. The brethren pleaded with her,
He wouldn't listen. She married him. They had a beautiful wedding. Of course, in the meantime, he came to a meeting.
Oh, yes.
Came to the gospel meeting. Nice little Christians and everything lovely. Looked like a prospect for God's salvation. The wedding was over. They were looking at the gifts. She picked up a beautiful hand-painted text, John 3:16, framed a beautiful text. She said to him, "Isn't that a beauty?" Took it in his hands, threw it on the floor, stepped on the glass. He says, "I've got you now. I've got you now." She swooned. Fainted. And after 10 years, she hadn't recognized him. Now that may be an extreme case. Young woman, young man, marry only in the Lord. God will bless you for it. To obey is better than sacrifice. I pass on. Romans chapter 12. Verse 11. Now allow me to just lift these words out of their context altogether. I take that privilege. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I give this an application. Bring the Lord into your business, brethren. Bring the Lord into your business. God will bless you for it. Can it be otherwise? The Lord's in the business now. I'm glad I'm not in business now. I was before I went into the work of the Lord. It was difficult then. My heart goes out to men who are in business today. But when I speak along this line,
pardon me if you heard before, but I make no apology. Over 40 years ago, when many went down to the Arlington Conference but had no automobile, had to travel by train, no buses, well over 40 years ago, 45 years ago, I used to take a load down in my Bible carriage. We were going through the town of Vernon, the town went Mount Vernon, the town went, the highway went through towns in those days. The late Mr. Thomas Funston was sitting in the driver's seat beside me. "Look at that," he said. And as we went along, I took my eyes off the road and I looked. There was an independent service station. Right across the top in clear letters, "This service station is closed on Lord's days." This was Saturday morning. I said, "Brother Funston, we can't stop now. We'll get gasoline on our way back from that man." And we did. And he came out and he looked. "Christ died for the ungodly," on the side of the gospel car. He went around the other side. "Ye must be born again." "Say, gentlemen," he said, "that looks good to me." "Well," I said, "that looks good to us. This service station closed on Lord's days." He said, "I wasn't on there when I bought this business. But I'm a child of God. I'm a born again Christian. Now, I'm not telling you not to work on Sundays. Your business may call for that. Nurses, doctors, others, they've got to work. Got to take their shifts. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just telling you what happened." But he said, "I hadn't a good conscience about this place being open on Lord's days. So I got that sign painted and I closed." I said, "Didn't you lose one of the best days of the week?" He said, "I lost the best day." He said, "I sold more gasoline on Sunday than I sold on any other day of the week." Well, I said, "How did you make out?" Well, he says, "How do you think I made out?" Well, I said, "You're putting me on the spot. But," I said, "I do know that those that honor God, God will honor." Well, he says, "It's pretty hard for a while. But would you believe it that after a little while, I was selling more gasoline on some Mondays than I ever sold on Sundays?" I said, "How do you account for that?" He says, "What brought you in here?" I said, "That sign. It brings in hundreds of them." He says, "They see that and they come here and they buy gasoline from me." See, brothers and sisters,
Them that honor me, I will honor. Christ in business,
There's 5 minutes left.
1 Corinthians chapter 14. I don't preach from notes, and my memory isn't what it used to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Jesus?
No.
Are the commandments of Christ?
No.
Are the commandments of the Lord? The Lordship of Christ in the assembly. What about it, brethren? You have your business meetings. And there's a lot of administration today. But what about bringing the Lord into it? It's a long time since I was at the business meeting of this assembly, which is now the Victoria Drive Assembly. Long time ago. There were only four of us for a while. But the first thing we did, we all four got down on our knees. And we asked the Lord to guide us in all the deliberations, not just deacon work, counting money and sending it out. There's nothing to that. There were other problems. We asked the Lord to give guidance and to give help. And each of us prayed to that end. And we brought the Lord into it. And then when a problem came up, here's the book that we went by. We went by this book. No Articles of Faith. We brought the Lord into it. And sometimes there are real problems. Look at chapter 5 before I stop, please. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on. Christ is brought into the assembly. If I had remained in chapter 4, in chapter 14, we have the Lordship of Christ in connection with giving out a hymn. We have the Lordship of Christ in connection with ministry. And it's a problem sometimes to know if one keeps their seat too long, something happens and you're asked, why didn't you get up? But if you don't, you get up too quick, then you get into trouble for that too. So it's difficult to know what to do. But bring the Lord into the thing. We may make mistakes, but as much as lieth in us, brethren and sisters, let us bring the Lord into the assembly. God hath made the same Jesus, both Lord and Christ, Lord in the gospel, his lordship in the gospel, his lordship in my private life, his lordship in my home life, his lordship in marriage, his lordship in business, and his lordship in the assembly. And if we do that, there won't be half the troubles and trials that we have today. And my word is this, it will be in a condition in which the Holy Spirit can work. God will bless his word and bless his people, and may he bless his word for his name's sake.